This is the Best Of Daily Devotion series by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.
The last time we were together, we began 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We remarked at that time that this letter begins to address illicit sexual practice prior to marriage. Now, Paul kind of was slow in getting started on that subject in verse 1, and I guess I was just as slow, if not slower, than he was. But we're getting there, but we need to address, first of all, how he began this letter. Once again, he says, "Let me add this, dear brothers. You already know how to please God in your daily living, for you know the commands which we gave you from the Lord himself. Now we beg you, yes, we command of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you live more and more closely to that ideal." Now that's the Living Bible version. Charles Simeon, the great commentary writer, he commented on this passage as follows. He says, "Our blessed Lord, when about to leave the world, commanded his apostles to go and proselytize all nations to his religion, teaching them at the same time to observe and do the things that he had commanded them. Thus, in their ministrations, principle and practice were to go hand in hand. But many are disposed to separate what he has thus united, some making the gospel little else than a system of moral duties, while others omit duty altogether and occupy themselves entirely in establishing their own peculiar views of doctrine. Both of these parties we conceive to be wrong. A superstructure, he says, is nothing without a foundation. Neither is the foundation anything without a superstructure. Each, indeed, has its appropriate place, but both are alike important. For if, on the one hand, the superstructure will fall without a foundation, so on the other hand, it is for the sake of the superstructure alone that the foundation is laid." St. Paul, quote, "as a wise master builder," end quote, "was careful at all times to lay his foundation deep and strong. But having done this, he was careful also to raise up upon its beauteous edifice, such as God himself would delight to inhabit." This appears in all his epistles, not excepting those which are most devoted to the establishment of sound doctrine. In the epistle before us, he seems to have had a little else in view than to assure the Thessalonians of his tender regard for them and to excite them to the highest possible attainments in universal holiness. He was ready enough to acknowledge that his instructions had produced the most salutary effects upon them, but he was anxious that they would still press forward for higher attainments as long as anything should remain to be attained. The words we have just read, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, consist of an appeal and an exhortation," end quote. The writer Ray Steadman, he commented on this too. He said that the Christian walk merely consists of two simple steps, repeated over and over again. He says it's not a complicated thing. In the same way, the Christian life is a matter of taking two steps, one step after another. Then you are beginning to walk. These two steps, as seen in Colossians 3, Paul describes them as put off the old man and put on the new. Then repeat. That is all. Keep walking through every day like that. That is how Scripture exhorts us to live. Look, we're called to please God. But what does that mean? How do we please God? The writer Richardson reminds us a central characteristic of the Christian life is to please God. Christians accommodate themselves to their God. God never accommodates himself to us. The idea is not that we appease God or conciliate him. God did that on the cross. We please him because we honor him. It is a matter of gratefulness. A holy walk pleases God. We want to walk in a way that puts a smile on the face of God, and many of us make him frown. To please God is to walk with him. To walk with God is to please him. Indeed, one's walk speaks of his or her abiding lifestyle. So, like players in Scripture, our response to repentance and faith must then be followed by continuing obedience and continuing perseverance. Now, that doesn't mean we won't fail or that we won't ever stumble. But it does mean that we will continually and forever be moving forward, pushing on, growing stronger, more faithful, and a greater servant to God and kingdom. This all is not somehow in an addendum to salvation, nor is it some sort of mandate to prove our muster. It is a natural and innate aspect of true redemption and certainly true love. It's ours as a sign that we are truly reborn. When we fall and we stay down, well, we were never really part of the team. It proves we were never one of his to begin with, but just going through some sort of external motions of religious acts. Is there an ultimate goal here then? Look, the goal is to abound in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor is not in vain." That's the stuff that pleases the Lord.
That was A Daily Devotion by Pastor Tim Dotson of Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dotson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.